You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
The Austrian painter Oskar Kokoschka once said, "Human beings are not still lives, and his portraits are anything but still." This summer, the Neue Gallery Museum for German and Austrian Art is presenting an exhibit called Focus Oskar Kokoschka, which includes several of his expressionistic portraits along with a selection of drawings and prints. And there's another show at the Gallery of Note, selections from the permanent collection. I'm pleased to welcome Renee Price, the director of the Neue Gallery, to our show today to tell us about them. Hi.
Hello.
Did you have an earlier show of Kokoschka's work at the gallery? How is this different?
Yes. After we opened the museum in November of 2001, our first exhibition focused on the early portraits of Kokoschka that he had made in Vienna and Berlin, and that spanned the years 1909 to 1914. And Kokoschka is, of course, an integral part of our Austrian permanent collection. We have Gustav Klimt, the Grand Master, and then the next generation, Oskar Kokoschka and Egon Schiele.
Now, is there, because it's German and Austrian art that's featured at the museum, would anybody who had a decent eye be able to spot automatically, oh, that's a German painting, oh, that's an Austrian painting?
Well, I mean...
is there a difference between the expressionism that we find in Germany and in Austria?
Yes. Also, the Viennese artists that we show really come out of the Jugendstil, the Art Nouveau, and the German artists that we show start with German expressionism. So, and Klimt is sort of, you know, the bridge between the two. And in the case of Oskar Kokoschka, Gustav Klimt was one of the spiritual fathers to Kokoschka. He was the one who gave the new generation a chance to exhibit. And when Kokoschka appeared on the Vienna art scene in 1908 at this important Kunstschau, he was the enfant terrible. He had a shaved head, and he was called the Oberwildling, which is like a super savage, by the art critic Ludwig Hevesy. So he really shocked, I think, with his art and his whole demeanor.
And I assume that was his goal.
You don't
do those things accidentally.
No, I mean, he could have been the first Austrian performance artist because he also wrote a drama called Murder, Hope of Women. Kokoschka had another spiritual father who was really important to him, and that was the architect Adolf Loos. And it was the circle around Loos, which was a circle of intellectuals and Loos's clients, that Kokoschka was able to get to the sitters.
And included in the show, we see things from Adolf Loos and from Gustav Klimt, and I'll get to that in a moment. But I want to spend a little more time on Kokoschka. He was rather young at the time that he did these paintings,
yes,
wasn't he?
He started when he was 22, and by 1910, he left Vienna for Berlin. He initially started as an illustrator at the Wiener Werkstätte. He did postcards and then he did fans, but he quickly stepped out of that into becoming a full-fledged artist.
Mostly portraits here. Was that his specialty at the time?
Well, one of the reasons for the portraits is an artist has to survive. And Loos actually guaranteed to buy the portraits if the sitters refused them, which they most often did.
And that's because these are not meant to please the sitters, I would think.
That's right.
They strike me as quite psychological. Was he trying to create works that would capture what he saw as the inner souls, or was he trying to do something that might please the sitter?
Well, first of all, again, because Loos bought the portraits if they weren't accepted, he had complete artistic freedom. And what he was trying to make, what he called nervously disordered portraits. He is able to depict the aura, the energy of the sitter. And although he chooses a sort of conventional portrait style, he puts emphasis on gesture. The hands become very important.
They look like they're shaking in some cases.
Well, you know, he actually used his fingernails and the back of the brush to scrape through the paint, which was rather unconventional. There is a tension there of the psyche that he really tries to make visible. And, of course, this is the beginning of a modern portrait.
But it's also the time that Freud is in Vienna. Was there a consciousness of trying to capture something about the way people were, in this case, unhappy, worried, agitated?
Well, I mean, Kokoschka had this penetrating vision. And, of course, the parallel is in psychoanalysis. I mean, trying to strip away deceptive external facades is something that a psychoanalyst aims to do. And Kokoschka was trying really to do the same. He was looking for a truth and was getting beyond the representation.
One of these portraits of Martha Hirsch was described by a critic as portraying an unhappy woman with demonic bovine eyes squinting from depression.
Well, you know, you should see Mr. Hirsch and then you'd know why.
Did they buy those portraits or did Love buy those?
I believe they actually did because they tried to be progressive. And what's curious is that Loos wanted to create homes that were homes providing comfort. But then Loos said a work of art wants to draw people out of their state of comfort. And that's why Loos, I think, liked Kokoschka so much.
I'm interested in the way that you've shown them. They're shown alongside Austrian decorative arts by Loos and Josef Hoffmann and Dagobert Peche, and some others. Is this how a Viennese collector at the time might have shown them?
Absolutely. That's one of the things I really love about our museum, that we are able to show the decorative arts side by side with the fine art, much as it would have been displayed in a home.
And would the decorative arts have been considered equal in stature to the fine arts?
Yes, because the Wiener Werkstätte made sure, and Josef Hoffmann, of course, that if you had a work of art by a contemporary artist, you also then would be furnished and completely by the Wiener Werkstätte.
There's also a room with Kokoschka's drawings, watercolors, and prints. Was he always drawing and making prints while he was working on these portraits?
Yes. And Kokoschka also did something unconventional. The figures did not stand still. He did them in motion. And the German Expressionists, the artists of the Brücke that we just recently showed, did the same. This was, again, trying to capture the essence of something, but not as a still life.
But not the same way the Futurists had tried to depict movement.
No, they had different ambitions, yeah.
One of the drawings called Christian Love, Alma Mahler and the Artist, shows Alma Mahler, who was a widow at that time, as a grown woman, and Kokoschka as a little boy. Now, I know that he was younger than she. They had a
3-year love affair that she says was extremely stormy and was from hell to heaven. Every nuance was covered, and Kokoschka apparently was extremely jealous. And so, you know, finally she had to break it off.
Well, she may have given him reasons to be jealous. I mean, this is a woman who definitely got involved with some of the most important men of the time. Gustav Mahler, she was his widow. Then Walter Gropius, and then Franz Werfel.
Yes, and Zemplinsky. And she must have been extremely alluring. She was highly intelligent. She was a composer in her own right. And she was in, Gustav Klimt was in love with her. He followed her to Venice when she was there with her parents. There was something very special about her.
My guest is Rene Price. We're talking about what's going on at the Neue Gallery for German and Austrian art. Two shows, one Oskar Kokoschka, the other special paintings from the permanent collection. In between the two rooms of Kokoschka's work is a gallery with several works by Gustav Klimt, including the famous portrait of Adele Bloch Breuer.
Adele Bauer, from 1907.
Now, this has been called his masterpiece, and it made newspaper headlines for a while.
Well, we like to think of it as our Mona Lisa. We are so fortunate that we were able to acquire this work. And it's just, I mean, that painting alone is worth coming to the Neue Galerie for.
And then on the museum's third floor, there's a show of selections from the permanent collection, and that includes works by Vasily Kandinsky, Paul Klee, Otto Dix, Max Beckmann, George Gross, and others, and furniture and objects by Marcel Breuer and Mies van der Rohe. These are all part of the yes. museum's permanent collection?
Our permanent collection is unique in the world. There is no other museum that has a concentration of these decorative arts from Austria, from Vienna, from 1900, and then from Germany, from the Bauhaus.
Well, how is this put together? The museum's only been open since 2001.
Yes. Well, we have two founders, Serge Sabarsky and Ronald Lauder. And thanks to their collecting, we are able to show this permanent collection and keep changing it. So you don't always see the same thing at the Neue Galerie. We're very fortunate that we have a very nice, large group of fine and decorative arts that we're able to display.
I know Ronald Lauder. I don't know Serge Sabarsky's collection, but Ronald Lauder owns a lot of work that doesn't come from Germany or Austria. So why this focus, specifically German and Austrian fine and decorative arts from the early 20th century?
Well, that goes back to a 30-year friendship between these two men. And Serge Sabarsky, who had a gallery on Madison Avenue and specialized in the art that we are showing at the Neue Galerie. And Ronald and Serge would meet at least once a week and speak several times a day on the telephone and discuss this art and their passion for it.
And it's interesting that the museum is in a beautiful mansion that is also historic.
Yes, we're very fortunate. We have a beautiful house, we are a house museum. And in the former dining room, we have an exquisite Viennese cafe, Café Sabarsky. And we are able to give a complete, I think, it's like a Gesamtkunstwerk. You can go to our bookstore, you can buy literature from the time, you can go to our design shop, you can own a piece of this design, and then you can go into our galleries. And what we also have right now are five Klimt landscapes that are just splendid.
Would this building by Carrere and Hastings, which was built in 1914, be anything like the sort of thing we would have seen in Vienna, or is this particularly New York kind of historic building?
Well, it could have been in Vienna. I think certainly the second floor where we show the Austrian art is very much in the spirit of Gustav Klimt, for instance, so it fits very nicely. And then on the third floor, which is a much more neutral space, we have the German art. And again, that works very well.
Well, as I said, there are these two shows, Focus Oskar Kokoschka, which runs through October 5th. When is the permanent collection show running through? Or do you just keep on rotating?
Through, yes. And what we also show upstairs in the German art is really art of Germany from the 1920s. That shows the sort of social and economic conditions which are relevant today.
We have a slideshow on our webpage, which will give our listeners a suggestion of the treasures that they'll find at the museum. Do you have any other exhibits coming up in the fall?
Yes. We have a wonderful show coming up, which will be an homage to Serge Sabarsky, and that will be over the two floors. And then in the spring...
Which featuring things that he would have sold at his gallery?
Featuring his collection and also focusing on the man because he was fascinating. We'll be showing a film where he is speaking as well. And then in the spring, we are going to have the very first exhibition of Otto Dix in North America. And I think that will create a lot of attention.
I've always wondered why Ronald Lauder, whose politics are a bit conservative, is so enamored of some of these artists whose politics were so far to the left.
Well, you know, like everybody, we're full of contradictions, and that is what's, I think, so fantastic.
Focus Oskar Kokoschka runs through October 5th at the Neue Galerie at 1048 Fifth Avenue. That's at 86th Street.
Yes.
And if you want to check out their website, it's neuegalerie.org. That's NEUEGALERIE.org. My great thanks to Renee Price, the director of the gallery, for
being
with us.
It's a pleasure to be here.